Thanks very much, Linda. Thanks to Chris and Becca and the band. Just a wonderful time of worship there, wasn't it? Songs kind of old and songs new, and just really helped us come into God's presence. So thank you for that. Thanks also very much to you. We've got Scott and Joel and John back in the AV today. And big thanks to them, because the AV guys just help to facilitate so much of what we do, really, don't we? So, big thanks to those guys as well. So by way of introduction, just before we kind of get into the scripture really, we're going to be talking about the subject of breakthrough this morning, and I'm really aware that across the body of Christ here we have people in all sorts of different circumstances. We have people who have nursed loved ones who have died of cancer, we have people who have spouses who are in chronic pain. We have various permutations really across the body of Christ. And I realise it can stir different emotions, but I really want to preach this morning,
just share a little bit about God's breakthrough and about the fact that he can unlock difficult situations and that his kingdom can really come in our lives and in our circumstances. So if you could turn to Matthew chapter 11, it's verses 1 to 15. If you are old school like me, you'll be turning in a paper Bible. If you're a bit more trendy like Matt H and Matt C, then you'll be flicking there on an electronic gizmo. I can say that because they're away this morning, you see. Great, so just going to read. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears listen." So I have shared on these passages before, about 2 or 3 years ago on a Sunday night, but I really felt God wanted to bring something different from them today. And what can they teach us about breakthrough? What can they teach us about the kingdom of God coming among us? What can they teach us about knowing home, church here, as a place of breakthrough? And so we pick up with John. John the Baptist, he's in prison. He sends this curious sort of question to Jesus, saying, "Are you the one, or should we wait for another?" Or as one version puts it, "Should we expect someone else?" And it is a curious question, because if we think of John, he knew his calling. He knew he was one called to go before the Messiah. He had recognized the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. But now he's questioning. In a sense, he's saying, "No, Jesus, I'm a bit disappointed in you. It's not what I expected." Could it be that John just had a slightly different view of the kingdom coming and of the saving action of God than Jesus did in some respects? He's seen as this bridge figure between the old covenant and the new covenant. And he had a really strong message. So John came, living in the desert, living on locusts and wild honey. I quite like the idea of the wild honey. I'm not so sure about the locusts. And he had a strong message, maybe a needed message, but about righteousness, about turning from what was wrong, about retribution if that didn't happen. It was a really sort of powerful message that he was proclaiming. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. And now he's in a position where he's looking at things and he's saying, well, Israel hasn't turned back to God in the way I would have hoped. The nation hasn't been restored. We're still an occupied nation. And I'm in prison. And he's kind of saying to Jesus, look, it's not panning out quite as I expected. How many of us can say that about our Christian lives sometimes, or our lives, that it's not panned out quite as we expected? When I was 15, I wanted to be a professional tennis player, and the fact I didn't grow beyond 5 foot five sort of just put a little bit of a limit. I didn't quite pan out as I expected. I'm not sure that was God's idea for me, but... So Jesus sends a reply back to John in verses 4 to 6, and he says this, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me. Does anybody know which Old Testament prophet was Jesus referring to? Which was he quoting? Yeah, thanks, Amanda. Yeah, so it's Isaiah. So Jesus is quoting from Isaiah, and he's quoting from Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, and Isaiah 61, 1, and he's kind of splicing together and amalgamating these passages which John would have been really, really familiar with. So they were passages about the Messiah. They were passages about the breakthrough that his kingdom would inaugurate. They were well-known passages to John. There's a thought that, no, Jesus, when he's quoting the part from Isaiah 61:1, he doesn't include release of captives from prison. And there's a thought that maybe Jesus was indicating to John that he would die in prison. That's possibly true. It'd be a very rabbinic way of doing that. But it's not the main point. The main thing is Jesus is saying, look, John, you're looking at it from one direction. Sounds like a cue for a song, doesn't it? You're looking at it from one viewpoint. But actually, there's more. Actually, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what the breakthrough of God looks like. It looks like the compassion of God breaking through into people's lives, touching their lives, bringing healing to them, bringing wholeness to them, helping them come to a place of really full salvation. You're looking at it in one way, John, but actually, the kingdom of God is even greater than that, greater than the way that you're seeing it. And it's a ministry that Jesus shared with his disciples. In the previous chapter in Matthew 10, Jesus commissions them and he sends them out saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. So again, echoes of this messianic calling, of this calling of the kingdom of God coming that he restates to John, these passages from Isaiah. And he commissions and calls and engages his disciples in that process as well. When we think about the word salvation, what do we think of? When we think of salvation, I think growing up, I always had an idea, and it's a right idea, that it's about coming to faith in Jesus, receiving Jesus as our Saviour, and being washed in his blood, being forgiven for our sins, and having a secure sort of eternity with God. And that's absolutely right. It's really, really important. If you just pop the next slide up, Scott. But it's more than that as well. The Greek word from the New Testament, zozo, salvation, means to save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to make whole. It's actually talking really about that restoration that Matt touched on last week. It's about the kingdom of God breaking through and coming into people's lives to make them whole. And always with the goal that it makes people and frees people and releases people to become more like Jesus. That's the goal of all ministry, isn't it? That we become more like Jesus. It sounds like a tall order, doesn't it? Deaf people hearing and blind people seeing and broken-hearted people being healed up. Sounds like a tall order, but actually things that are happening all over the world today in the name of Jesus. But we can look at it and just think, perhaps let's get on to the tea and biscuits. You know, it's quite a big challenge. But the point is really to maybe to start small as we think about breakthrough coming. Just a small window of opportunity sometimes. There's an incremental nature of faith throughout the Bible. Read it in both Old and New Testaments that Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and compares it to a mustard seed. It's the smallest of seeds that grows to become a large tree. Or Jesus will teach about somebody who's faithful in little who will be faithful in much. For those who know the story of David in the Old Testament, David who fought Goliath, but before he fought Goliath, he had to protect his flock of sheep from lions and bears before he got to Goliath. Some years ago, I was chatting with a really lovely sort of young Christian chap, and he was going to university and just talking about various plans that he had for his life. And he said, "No, of course that is unless God calls me to be a world evangelist." And actually, do you know what? That's a great goal to have. But the fact is, he's going to call you to talk to your mates first. He's going to call you to get involved with Jason and Alison and Matt with the NFest and all that sort of stuff. And to be local, actually, in the expression of that in the first instance. I was involved for some years, for about 4 or 5 years, with a ministry called Healing on the Streets Bath. Which is an evangelistic ministry. I think some of the guys here have been involved in Midsummer Norton as well. Russ, I think, and Janet and people. And it was a really good ministry, actually. It was really interesting. And we were praying for the kingdom of God to really come in people's lives. We were praying for breakthrough in people's lives, not just physical healing. We actually probably saw as much emotional and sort of inner healing and breakthrough as we did physical healing. And you know, various things, actually. There was one chap who came for about 2 years for prayer. We'd meet in the Abbey Square, and one chap came and prayed for about 2 years for his wife to become a Christian. There was one morning where she came along to have some prayer with us, and some of the guys from the team prayed for her. She came to Christ, got established in a church, and some really sort of good fruit in various ways, various evidences of the kingdom of God just breaking through. But when we were thinking of physical healing, again, it was about, in some ways, starting small. It wasn't about thinking about the biggest problem that we could think of, the person with the most multiple sort of problems and praying for them. We started praying with people with bad knees, bad stiff necks, bad backs. You know, it's amazing how many people have bad backs, isn't it, and how debilitating that can be. And we'd kind of growing faith and confidence as we saw God start to break through and start to touch people in these areas. There's one chap on the team, Ara, and he prayed for so many people with backs and saw God touch so many people that actually you actually knew that when you were praying for somebody with a bad back with Ara, actually just God would just be there. He just had this expectation, and almost everybody got healed to some degree when he prayed with them in the name of Jesus. Obviously, it's Jesus who's the healer. So start small, big task, but start small. So just going back to our passage, so we see Jesus from verses 7 to 11 commending John's prophetic ministry. He was obviously Jesus really secure in who he was. It's quite a disconcerting question, really, that he was asked in some ways by John, wasn't it? He never invalidates John's ministry. He speaks in glowing terms about John, Jesus is saying, you know, in a sense, repentance is really important. Turning from what's wrong, that's really important. And actually, for any healing, for any discipleship, for any breakthrough to happen, that's essential, really, isn't it? And he talks of John as the Elijah who was to come. Elijah is a huge figure in Judaism, much more celebrated, actually, in Jewish tradition than in Christian tradition. He was seen as this prophet who would precede the coming of the Messiah. He's seen today, actually, in Judaism as somebody who is present at Passover Seders and Bar Mitzvahs. And so it's a big compliment, actually, that Jesus is paying John. But then we come to this strange verse. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Quite a lot of wrong things have been done in the name of Christianity, taking that verse out of context. If we can just pop up the next slide, Scott. Brilliant, thanks. It's been studied by a Christian teacher called George Beasley Murray, and he's really looked at all of the sayings relating to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And he thinks this is the sort of the nearest we can get to what that verse really means. So the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's language, is forcefully breaking through, but it is violently opposed. So the kingdom of God is forcefully breaking through, but it is violently opposed. So it's forcefully breaking through. That's not about violence with the kingdom. It's actually about impetus. It's about this ministry that Jesus talks of in Isaiah. It's about healing and deliverance and people coming to wholeness. Yes, there's a day to come when the rule and the reign of God will be fully established. But Jesus is saying it's breaking through now. It's gaining impetus now. It's started now. It's got momentum behind it now if we go with it. The kingdom of God is forcefully breaking through. But it is violently opposed. We don't have to look very far in the world, do we? Some places we've prayed for this morning where it's a huge cost for coming to Christ. People actually could lose their lives for coming to faith in Jesus, where the kingdom is breaking out in powerful ways. Actually, it is forcefully opposed. What forms of opposition do you think we face in the West? You can shout out a few if you think of any.
Maybe
materialism. Thanks, Guy. Thanks. Nice to see you, by the way, and Sandra. Yeah. So materialism, it's a huge thing, isn't it? Any other thoughts?
Contempt.
What was that, Malcolm?
Contempt.
Contempt. Interesting one. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that one. They may be a bit more subtle, but I think things like, materialism and cynicism, disbelief, apathy, subtler than in other countries, isn't it, in some way? But they're things that actually present as being benign, but actually they can really be quite hostile. Apathy can be quite hostile. But I think that actually, as we see more and more of God's kingdom kind of breaking out in our lives, in our communities, that actually the opposition would probably increase, I think, incrementally as well. How do we make home a place of breakthrough? How do we make home, or see home as a place of breakthrough? We've got lots of ministries doing some wonderful things, haven't we, I think, in the church. I'm really encouraged about the whole Welton Runners, the park runners. Again, it's like a kingdom initiative and invest, and that sounds really... I can't keep up, actually, with how much stuff is happening. It's going on. It's really good. But in terms of unlocking circumstances, in terms of healing, in terms of God's kingdom coming in profound and powerful ways... how do we make place, how do we make home a place where that can happen, a place for breakthrough? We'll just pop up the next slide, Scott, please. Okay, just a few thoughts. Start small, but gain momentum. So that's something we've looked at. You know, our faith kind of grows as we see the smaller victories. We're going to be using spiritual gifts, and I think there might be a series later this year on spiritual gifts that leaders will be teaching on. But actually, as we're praying for breakthrough, we're praying, you know, for healing, we're prophesying. Spiritual gifts are in use, and I think people can be sometimes reticent about them. They've maybe had a bad experience in the past. They perhaps associate them with emotionalism and things like that. But actually, they've been given by God to the church for the edification, for the building up of the church, and to really establish God's kingdom, to see God's kingdom coming in the church. And I can't remember where I heard this, but just a little sort of thought, really, that the response to wrong use of spiritual gifts should be correct use, not non-use. And I think we apply that in other areas. So, you know, if we see something go wrong, whether it's preaching or worship or something like that, we actually continue with those things, and rightly so, God-given things. But actually spiritual gifts as well, it's about finding a way forward, using them in love, and seeing how we kind of use them appropriately in at that process of the kingdom coming. All glory goes to Jesus, but he loves to use people. So Jesus is the healer. He is the one who frees us. He is the one who brings his kingdom to bear in our lives. But he loves to use people in that process, doesn't he? Just think over my Christian life and how many, along the way, dotted throughout the way, how many mothers and fathers and uncles and aunties and brothers and sisters in Christ I've had. So all glory goes to Jesus, but yes, he loves to use people. Listen to God. So we're kind of praying for God's will to be done and partnering really with him in the process, not sort of praying our problems onto things or what we just want to see happen. It's about partnering with God. And be open to be open. Be open to be open. What do I mean by that? Well, I think sometimes past disappointments can really condition the way we think about the future and our expectation for the future. We can actually end up putting a ceiling on God and on kingdom activity, on breakthrough, on what we believe God can do maybe. And almost, you know, God only does things really with our permission. Just related to that is a story I'd like to share. It's about a lady who a few years ago went to a Christian retreat centre called Faldy Brennan in Wales. Some of you may have heard of it. Some of you may have heard the story. And she was a lady who had had bowel cancer. And she'd had an operation and had a colostomy bag fitted to her abdomen, which effectively kind of then worked as her bowel. So she had a hole in her abdomen. And she went to Faldy Brennan and sort of worship was going on there. And there had been a word, been a prophetic word about God healing tummies. And she felt almost like a flutter in the worship across her stomach. And she felt the Lord say to her, I want you to go out and have a look at your bag, at your stomach. And she dismissed it. She just thought, you know, actually that's too ridiculous. I'm not going to go and do that. And it came about five times. And in the end, she said, okay, I'm going to go out and have a look at my stomach. And she had a look, and actually the colostomy bag had fallen away, and where the hole had been, there was fresh skin, completely healed over, with no scars. There was medical follow-up to this, and the surgeon who performed the operation said, yes, I know I operated on this lady. I have no explanation for what happened. How big is our Jesus? You know, how big is our God? Wonderful kingdom breakthrough, restoring love of Jesus. Now, the other side of that story is that was told me a few years ago by a lovely man called John Munro. I've got Linda's permission to share this. So John was among us in the church here, and he went to be with Jesus about 2.5 years ago. And he suffered from motor neuron disease. And we'd prayed and we'd fasted and we'd really hoped to see the breakthrough of healing physically for John. And, you know, God spoke and speaks through John's life in an amazingly powerful way to us, even in that suffering and in all he went through. And we don't know sometimes why things don't happen. Questions of theodicy, why does God permit evil, bad things to happen to good people, all that sort of stuff. Those questions can bog us down sometimes. We see through a glass darkly. We don't always know why things don't happen. But we know that things can and do happen, that Jesus started this kingdom breakthrough. The kingdom started breaking through with this ministry of Jesus. Yes, raising the dead. Yes, healing the lame, healing the deaf. And Faldy Brennan, you know, nobody actually laid hands on that lady and prayed for her at that time. But maybe it was just a place that said, do you know, God, we give you permission to be God. God, we open the door. God, we just remove the ceiling and we just say, come and just express yourself among us in the way that you want to. And perhaps that was the way as well Jesus was thinking when he spoke to John the Baptist, and he said, you know, John, what you have is good and it's really important, but you're kind of putting a ceiling on the saving, breakthrough kingdom coming activity of God as well in some respects. Saying, John, give me permission to fully demonstrate this kingdom of God coming in our midst. So it'd be really good to pray for some people this morning. I think Linda's got something to share in a moment as well. I think when the worship band come up, I think if the prayer ministry team is just quite tight for space at the back, so if we can perhaps just come towards the front again, the prayer ministry team, if you can come forward, that would be great. I'm thinking this morning of just praying for people who need breakthrough, really simply, people who have felt that there's a situation that has been locked for maybe for a long, long time, maybe for years. That could be a physical healing, it could be something emotional, it could be a circumstance that you know isn't of God and you really want to see changed. It would be really great to pray with you this morning. And it's not going to be a counselling session, and just seek that God would kind of break through and bring change into those circumstances, demonstrate his kingdom.